All right. Welcome, everyone. This is Kyle, and I am the assistant with Michelle in the man panel. Would like to welcome everyone to the opening ceremony for the man panel 4. Really excited to have you here. Like I said, I'm going to be kind of assisting Michelle throughout the event with some tech-related items, and wanted to give everyone just a little bit of a heads up of a few tech-related pieces. At the bottom of your screen, if you dialed in and you're viewing this on your computer, you will have the option to either submit a Q&A question or submit a chat. There are two big differences between the two of these. So Q&A is a private message that only Michelle will see. This is the best way to submit a question that you'd like Michelle to potentially answer during her live Q&A portion. The chat function is what you can use if you're experiencing any sort of technical difficulties, you need my assistance with anything, because the big difference is the chat function will be sent to not only Michelle and I, but there is a little drop down next to when you send a chat, and you can also determine if you'd like to send it to just Michelle and I, or you can send it to the whole group. So you want to be really careful with what you put in that chat message, because you could potentially, if you don't hit the drop down, you could potentially send a message to the whole group. So in a nutshell, Q&A was great if you had a question for Michelle to review. Chat function is great to use if you have any tech-related issues or concerns. So without no further ado, I'd like to introduce Michelle and want to give you just a little bit of background about Michelle before we begin. So Michelle Marchand Johnson is a professional relationship coach, author, and speaker. In her business, lovelifecoaching.com, she works with exceptional women around the world who want to enjoy a loving, passionate, committed relationship with an extraordinary man. She becomes your virtual wing woman to, one, help you identify what may be holding you back, walk with you through the potential landmines of dating, and three, provide caring support on your journey to the relationship of your dreams. DatingAdvice.com has named Michelle as one of the top 10 midlife relationship experts for her popular advice. After decades of career success, but frustration, heartache, and disappointment in her love life, Michelle got support, uncovered her own inner blocks to love, and discovered the secrets that allowed her to meet Mr. Right. She became an ecstatic first-time bride at age 43 and has been married to the man of her dreams for over 12 years. As a breast cancer survivor, she believes life is precious and is meant to be lived with purpose, love, and joy. She is thrilled to see her amazing clients meet, attract, and find love with their Mr. Right and enjoy a happy, loving, passionate relationship. So no further ado, I'd like to introduce Michelle Marchand Johnson. Michelle, take it away.
Thank you so much, Kyle, and hello, everybody. So happy to have you here tonight. I'm thrilled and honored that you've decided to join us for the Man Panel 4, and I'm really excited about our topic tonight. We're going to be talking about three keys to meeting your Mr. Right, and I'm actually going to have some slides that I'm going to share, so we'll see if we can make that work, see if we can get the technology working in our favor. And Kyle, can you see my slides? Hello?
Yep, it's looking good on my end.
Okay, sounds good.
And if anybody's having any issues, feel free to message me in the chat, but Michelle, it looks good on my end.
Okay, great. So first of all, again, I want to officially welcome you to the event and welcome you to tonight's opening event. I really love this opportunity to connect with you on a more personal level and to have a chance just for us to have a chat, so to speak. And before we jump into the main content tonight, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what to expect coming up in the Man Panel itself, and then I'll talk a little bit about our agenda for tonight. So for the Man Panel, we started this morning, we rolled out an interview with Allison Armstrong. That will be on replay again tomorrow, and this event will be on replay tonight and tomorrow as well. So if you're not able to stay for the whole time or you want to hear it again, you can listen to those replays. Also, beginning tomorrow morning, we're going to start rolling out the interviews with the men, because this event features male experts, over 20 of them, And they will be, their interviews will begin to be featured starting tomorrow morning. And each interview will be available for approximately 48 hours from the time it rolls out. So you're going to want to kind of stay up to date if you want to catch the whole thing. We start tomorrow with John Gray and another really great expert named Guy Finley, who I think you'll really enjoy. He's a first-time guest, and I really loved interviewing him. But things are going to start moving quickly now because we're going to have 2 to 3 male experts per day, and it's going to move really fast. So the event will officially wind up on June 13th, Wednesday night, and we'll be doing another live event that night. My friend Wendy Newman, author of 121 First Dates, and I will be doing a live event called Let's Talk About Men, and we'll be talking about why men do or don't do some of the things that they do. It's brand new content, and I think you'll love that. Also, one other important announcement, we're gonna have another live event on Wednesday evening called The Manathon, where I'm going to have a panel of 3 male experts who will be taking your questions live. And that's always a lot of fun. That's been an annual event that we've done in previous man panels, and you're gonna wanna join us for that too. So watch your email for that. It'll be this same time on Wednesday evening. And those are just some of the things to expect. So we're gonna have a lot of fun together, and I think you're gonna get a lot from this event. The men have really shared a lot from their hearts, and I really think that it gives us an opportunity to understand the hearts and minds of men so that we can have those win-win relationships with them that we as women desire. So I encourage you to tune in as much as you possibly can. So that's a little bit about the man panel series and just kind of what to expect. As far as tonight's event goes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time sharing with you what I consider to be 3 keys that can really help you to meet and attract your Mr. Right. Now, this is not an extensive list. I could probably come up with 5, 7, or 10 keys, but these are 3 keys that I think are really significant and can really make a difference for you. And we'll delve into those a little bit. And then I do want to share just a little bit about the VIP package. We'll just take a few minutes on that because this is the last chance to secure the VIP package while it's still on the pre-event special. Once those interviews roll out and we wrap up tonight, the price will go up, and it's still a great value, but if you're thinking about it, this is a great night to get it. And also, there are a few people that have asked a few questions about it, so we'll just quickly review that. And then we're going to have some Q&A tonight. And so if you do have some questions that you would like for me to take, feel free to start putting those into the Q&A box anytime during the event tonight so that I'll have some questions. And I'm actually going to invite my wonderful husband, since this is the man panel, to join me for the Q&A portion so that he can give the male perspective and answer to your questions as well. So that will be a lot of fun. He'll join me for that. So we're gonna go fast and furious, and we're gonna have some fun tonight, and I'm really excited that you're here. So let's just dive right in to 3 keys to meeting your Mr. Right. So before we jump into this and I start talking about the 3 keys, I just want to acknowledge and appreciate each of you for being here, because the fact that you are here shows that you are the kind of woman that is committed to having extraordinary love and an extraordinary life. Because so many people in life just go through their lives kind of unconscious and unaware and are just kind of going through the motions. And the fact that you're tuning into this event and that you're tuning in live tonight and taking your time to invest in yourself in this way really speaks well of you. And I just want to acknowledge you for that and appreciate you. So many of you have been on previous events of mine, and I really appreciate your love and support. I feel that energetically, and I hope you're feeling that back from me, because I really, really care about the women in my audience that I serve and the amazing and beautiful clients that I get to work with on a one-on-one level and in groups. And I'm just really honored and privileged to do this work that I love so much in the world. I also want to acknowledge that if you're in a place where you don't yet have that person in your life, or you're seeking for partnership, I also want to acknowledge how painful that can be. In my years as a single woman, I used to joke and say I was going to write a book called Dating for Decades, because it felt like it was going to last forever. I can remember how painful it felt at times. I can remember coming home from business trips to a very quiet house, no one there to greet me, and sometimes curling up on my bed and feeling incredibly lonely, and sometimes even crying because I so much wished to have someone to share my life with. And I had an amazing life in so many ways, but I didn't have anyone to share it with. And so I know what it feels like to be there, lying there at night, wishing during the day that you had someone in your life. And I just want to acknowledge the reality of that and how poignant that pain can be. And yet, I also want you to know that my intention tonight is to create a vision of hope and of possibility for you, and to encourage you on your path. Because I can tell you, no matter what has or hasn't happened for you up to this point, there's always possibility beyond what our eyes can see. I've had some dark moments in my life, and I can tell you the sun can come up, can come out again. I know what it feels like, though, to be feeling like the whole rest of the world is coupled off and you're still by yourself, or that love seems to come so easily for other people, and sometimes it feels like it's the elusive wish for you. And I know what it's like to sometimes feel like your Mr. Right is nothing more than just a sweet dream. But I want to share with you some things tonight, and I'll share with you as much as I can in the time that we have, because we do have a limited amount of time for all that we're trying to accomplish. But I do want to share with you some things tonight that I think might be able to be helpful and that might give you some hope. And so I identified three key things that I think can make a difference for you. And this is based not only on my own experience and those years that I had as a single woman, but it's also based now on me supporting women all throughout the world on their journey to love and coming to understand the areas where we can get stuck or slowed down or stymied on that path to love. Now, the first key is one that I don't know that we talk about quite enough, and yet I think that it's really, really important, and that is having a mindset conducive to love. So when I talk about mindset in this context, I'm really talking about your thoughts and your beliefs. When you think about your thoughts and your beliefs, it's almost like, if I can use the example of a computer. When we're using a computer, we don't see the hard drive inside. We don't see the inner workings of the computer, so to speak. And yet that's the part of the computer that's really running the whole show. And the key about your mindset, and like I said, when I say mindset, I'm talking about your thoughts and beliefs, is sometimes they can be on an unconscious or a subconscious level, and we don't even realize that they can be running the whole show. And in a recent video, I shared this story of a business trip that I went on a number of years ago. I was back, it was in my 30s, so it was probably like 20 years ago. And I was sitting next to this man on the plane, and we were having this conversation, and I felt pretty comfortable with him over this period of this plane ride. And he was asking me if I was married, if I had family, and I felt comfortable in sharing with him, and just kind of like, without even thinking, it came out of my mouth and I said, oh no, I'm single and I don't really know if I'll ever really find anyone. And then he looked at me, he gave me this really strange look like, why would, and he said to me, why would you even say that? And I thought, wow, that really caught me off guard that I did say that. And so I recognized that I had this belief somewhere inside of me where I believed that I might not really find anyone, like maybe a part of me had kind of given up. Now, in fairness, I'd been through some challenging things in my love life at that point, and yet I didn't even realize that that was a belief for me until it like kind of just came out in the context of this conversation. And so our mindset is a really, really powerful thing. Our thoughts and our beliefs are a really powerful thing. And I have kind of a funny, way that I want to illustrate this. So I'm going to stop the slide share for a minute, and hopefully I'll be able to get it back on so that you can see me. Kyle, can everybody see me now in the full screen? Is that what you're seeing?
Yep, that's correct. We can now see you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So Kyle and I have a little different view than you have, so I just wanted to make sure. So I just want to give you a little example that's kind of funny, but it kind of illustrates what can happen and how our beliefs or our thought patterns can be so powerful and why it's so important to have a mindset conducive to love. So when we're little babies, when we're little girls, you know, we're navigating the world usually with just a lot of curiosity and openness and love, and we don't often have too much fear of too many people or those kind of things. We're just, you know, we're just doing our thing. Then as we go through childhood, sometimes we receive messages. Sometimes they're direct messages. Sometimes they're positive messages. Sometimes they're negative messages. But we pick up messaging from other people around us. And so sometimes that changes that innocent, beautiful, pure point of view that we see the world from. So let's just say these glasses represent something that I picked up in childhood. So now this is the lens through which I'm seeing the world, not quite as clear or beautiful as it was before. So then we go through our lives, and let's just say we have some negative experiences, maybe some negative feedback in school. Maybe the boy that we want to ask us to the dance or ask us out doesn't ask us out. Or maybe we even get rejected by someone and we get our little hearts broken, first love. And so then we might form a belief that says, you know, I'm really not that lovable, or I'm going to be rejected by men. In fact, I had a client that I was working with in her 60s, and she was telling me, at one point, we were trying to kind of figure out why she had this belief that men would always reject her. And we figured out that this stemmed clear back to her being in junior high and asking a man to a dance, and he rejected her and turned her down. So she formed this belief and started seeing the world through this lens that all men would reject her. So then maybe you take a big risk on love, and maybe you even got married a time or two, and maybe things didn't work out and it was really painful, and maybe you lost a lot of confidence. And so we get another layer added to that. And then maybe you start dating and you go online and you get rejected, or all the people that you want don't want you. And so you start getting this view that there's no good men out there, that the kind of men that want you are not the kind of men that you want are not going to want you. Or you start believing, you know, like you're too old, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too that. You get the idea. Not sure I can get any more glasses to stay on my face. But then what happens is, then we go looking for love through this lens. This is all of our beliefs and our thought patterns that we've built up over life. So here we are out there, and we're looking for love, and we're thinking we're doing all the right things, but this is the lens that we're looking at the world through. And a lot of times what's tricky about it is we don't even know it. We don't even know that all of these things are in effect. So when I reached the age of 40, and needless to say, that doesn't work very well, right, ladies? When I reached the age of 40 and I realized that my plan that I'd been trying for so long wasn't really working, meaning I wasn't exactly meeting the right man, and things weren't going well in my love life, I decided that it was time for me to leave no stone unturned and to figure out what was really going on, what was slowing me down, standing in the way, stopping me from having love. And what I discovered is that I had a lot of self-defeating beliefs, patterns, and behaviors. And the patterns and behaviors went back to the beliefs. So this pure vision that I no longer had been replaced with certain beliefs about myself and about men and about love and finding love and whether or not love was a scarce commodity in the world. And so it was very difficult for me to navigate the world of dating successfully. In other words, we can be doing all of the right things, but if the mindset, meaning your thought patterns and beliefs, are off, it can sabotage you right out of the gate. Now, I've talked about this before, and I've talked about three F words: fears, fantasies, and falsehoods that can foul up your love life. And I found that I had all of those. I had some fears that had been built up over time. I had fantasies, like believing that I had to be a certain way, or if I did certain things, a certain man would like or love me, or if I hung in there long enough with a man, that he would suddenly see me and value me and want to be with me. Those are examples of fantasies. Falsehoods: I had things going on. I was too old. I was too fat. I was not enough this. I was not enough that. All the good ones were taken. You know, all the things that we have going on, sometimes on a conscious level, sometimes on an unconscious level. So this mindset piece is really important. And I did a recent video on YouTube on having a mindset that's conducive to love, because I think this is really important. And I gave three really quick tips on ideas that you can use to enhance your mindset, to make it more conducive to love. And I'll just share those here. And if you're interested, you can also check it out. Check out the video on my YouTube channel. The first thing is, focus on what you do want. Have your mind focused on what you do want, not what you don't want, because what we focus on expands. So focus on, speak the words, say the words, claim the things that you desire. There's actual power, I believe, in actually speaking them out loud and focusing on what you do want rather than what you don't want. So instead of saying, I don't want to get hurt, or I don't want to be disappointed, or I don't want to be rejected, of course, you don't want those things. But say, instead, I want to have a loving partnership relationship with a man who loves, cherishes, and adores me. That's an example. Speaking into the words of what you do want. The second piece is to assess or question your current beliefs. If you notice some of these beliefs coming to the surface, or if you even notice you're behaving in a certain way and it kind of seems a little off in terms of what you want, like you're pulling away instead of going toward what you want, seek for what the belief is under that and question those beliefs and see if there's a possibility of you replacing some of those outdated beliefs or false beliefs that you might have picked up somewhere along the way. So you're not wearing these layer upon layer upon layer of lenses and viewing the world through that way. And the third mindset tip that I want to give you is to ask what questions. What questions are really powerful? So you may have heard the statement that if you want to transform your life, you need to be asking better questions, right? Sometimes it's not so much about having the answers, it's about asking better questions. And I find that what questions can be incredibly powerful when it comes to your love life. So example of what questions are, what would need to shift for me to believe something differently? What are some things that I could explore that I may not have explored up to this point? What could I believe instead of this previous belief? So these are just some examples of ways that you can begin to shift your mindset into a mindset that is more conducive to love, by paying attention to what's showing up for you and then questioning, replacing, and moving those beliefs into something where you're saying what it is you do want and you're not listening and behaving based on the voices of false messaging going on in your own head. Okay, so that's number one. Now I gotta see if I can get back to my slides here. So bear with me for 1 second. Okay. All right, Kyle, you seeing my slides now?
Yep, I can see them.
Okay, good. Okay, so key number two is, sorry, that's key number three. Key number two is to increase your attraction factors. Well, this is kind of a fancy name for just some of the things that you can do to be showing up in the world in ways that are really attractive to men. So I didn't just make these up. These are things that I've actually pulled from all of these interviews that I've had with these men. I've now done 4 years of interviews of entire events where I've interviewed male experts. So I've interviewed over 100 men over the last few years. And one of the things that I've asked them is, what are the kinds of things that really attract you to a woman? And these are some of the things that they've shared with me. So one is confidence, and I like to describe this as you being a woman of high value. You carry yourself through the world as a woman who knows her own value and knows her own worth. And this is a huge tenet of my work. And this is important because when you value yourself, when you have that confidence to navigate the world from that place of knowing that you have value, no matter what is or isn't happening with any man out there, it's something that's incredibly attractive. The second thing that men have said is really, really attractive, and this is something that can be a lot of fun anyway, is to be living a life you love. So doing those things, spending your time in those things that bring you happiness, that bring you joy, that bring you satisfaction, that make you feel good. Because, and that leads me to number three, which is being connected to your passions and increasing the joy in your life. When you are doing those things, it's like you're lit from within. And a man sees that and he finds that incredibly attractive. In fact, a lot of men that I've talked to over the years have said the point that they knew that they were in love with a woman was when they saw her sharing or talking about or doing something that she really loved and sharing from her heart how meaningful that was, or he could just see the joy in her demeanor, in her face, in how she was showing up, because it gives you kind of that lit from within feeling. The next thing, attraction factor, is being in your feminine presence and energy. And this is a fun one, and this is one that I work a lot with my clients on, is knowing how to show up in that feminine way, in the feminine presence, especially in our relationships and interactions with men, because that usually invites kind of the masculine in him. And even many really successful, strong women typically do want a masculine man. And in fact, one of the bonuses that comes with the VIP package is a brand new class that I'm teaching all on this called Fuel Your Feminine Fire. So if you feel a little bit out of touch with your feminine side, especially when it comes to love, dating, romance, etc., you might want to do the VIP package because we're going to have a really fun class on this. So the next one is that you have standards and boundaries. And men have told me, ladies, that boundaries and standards are sexy, meaning you know what is right for you, and you don't have to do it in a mean way or a nasty way, but you can share what your wants, needs, preferences are, and let a man know what's right for you. In terms of boundaries and standards, your boundaries and standards don't collapse just because you meet a man that you like. You are true to yourself first and foremost and what's right for you. And we typically think of this in context of like when you might have sex or sleep with a man, but it goes way beyond that. It's like you're holding your own value and you don't put all of your time, attention, focus, energy into a man until you know that that man is going to be there and showing up for you. And so increasing your attraction factors, and this also lends to you having a really great life, is one of the keys, I believe, to meeting and attracting the right man, because you are going to attract different men when you're showing up in the world this way than when you're not. Okay, I gave you a sneak glimpse into number three, and that is having a plan for love. Now, listen, I understand that we don't control everything that goes on in our love lives because it involves other people, and we don't control other people, and in fact, we wouldn't want to control other people. But I think there's something really powerful about approaching your love life from a place of being intentional, meaning you're being intentional about how you show up in the world, how you navigate the world, being responsible for what you can be responsible for in terms of checking that mindset, living a life where you're filling it with attraction factors, and creating creating opportunities for yourself to see and be seen by potential men. This is something that I work with my clients on. I have a proprietary 5-step plan that I work with my clients on to help them move forward significantly and powerfully in this area of life. And I think it can be really valuable to have some support around this area, especially if you, like me, back when I hit 40 and thought, okay, you know what, I've given my plan a fair chance and it's not really quite working for me, especially if you're feeling a little stuck in this area. It can be really valuable to have some support. And remember that a goal without a plan is just a dream. And we want to turn your dream, if this is your dream of being with the right man, of having partnership like it was mine, we want to turn that dream into a reality. So one key question you can ask is, how can you create more opportunities to see and be seen by high quality men? Well, some of you out there might be saying, I'm not seeing any men at all, let alone high quality men. But I want to invite you to get creative here and to look for opportunities to think outside the box. Where can you go? What places can you go where there might be that's going to take you out of your normal routine and your normal circle to something that you might find interesting or valuable in some way, whether or not you meet a man, but where there might actually be the possibility of meeting a man. I'm talking about real life experiences here, not just online. I believe that it's good to have a two-prong approach of creating opportunity for yourself online and offline, but this is just one question that you can ask, and the summer is a really great time to do it. Now, I know we have people all over the world, but here in North America, it's summer. And it can be a really great time to meet people. I have a client who met someone while standing in line at a food booth at a Greek festival. I have a client who met someone going to a charity event, a charity dinner. So there's a lot of different things to think about. And a way to do this is to go online, pretend you're brand new to your city or to your place that you live, your town, and do an internet search and look for all different kinds of events, things that would take you out of your normal routine and circle. And consider if there are places you can go and things you can experiment with, where you're safe, but where you can also meet new people. So this comes back to this plan idea. I love this quote. It says, infuse your life with action. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Make your own future. Make your own hope. Make your own love. And whatever your beliefs, honor your creator, not by passively waiting for grace to come down from upon high, but by doing what you can to make grace happen yourself right now, right down here on earth. And whatever your spiritual beliefs are, I believe that there are forces that work for our good, especially when we're intentional. And I love this idea of being committed to creating opportunities for yourself, committed to creating the life that you love, committed to being that woman that you believe you want to be fully expressed in being you, because that's what's going to attract the right man. And then not being attached to any one specific outcome or timing or way that this happens. That's where I think kind of the grace comes in, or the serendipity comes in. That's where I think this piece comes into play, where people say, well, when I was least expecting it is when it happened. Well, that may be true to some extent. They may not have gone to wherever they went to meet someone, but they were usually in places where they could meet someone. So being committed to the life that you want, being committed to moving forward in your life, being committed to taking a stand for yourself, claiming what you want, speaking what you want, and being that woman of high value as you navigate the world with also some feminine grace is a key to you having what you want. And these are just three keys that I wanted to mention. I'm going to be doing a full webinar a few weeks after the MAN panel ends that I'll invite you all to, where I'm going to be going through my five-step proprietary process on how I work with my clients to help them to go from being single to being in the relationship of their dreams. But these are some things that you can start working on right now, start implementing. Choose at least one thing. Choose at least one thing from anything that I've said tonight and just experiment with it. Because you can have what you want. And I just want to share with you that from someone who had a very hard time in my love life, I shot myself in the foot so many times, it's a wonder I can walk. I hit a few speed bumps and potholes on my road to love. I can tell you that it's worth it. It's really worth it, because having someone to share your life with is one of the best things possible if you find the right person. So I want to encourage you on your journey. I want to give you hope. And I want to let you know that I'm holding that vision for you in my heart, if that's what you desire. And we're gonna take some Q&A here in a moment. And I'm going to actually invite my husband, Benjamin, as I said, to join me for this part. And so I'm going to scoot my chair over here in a minute, and he's going to snuggle in right next to me, and we'll be taking some Q&A. But I just want to wrap up this portion with this quote from Erica Jong, who many of you may have heard before, but I just really love it, and so I wanted to share it again. She says, "Do you want me to tell you something really subversive? Love is everything it's cracked up to be. That's why people are so cynical about it. It really is worth fighting for, being brave for, risking everything for, and the trouble is, if you don't risk anything, you risk even more." So I just want to echo that. Love is everything that it's cracked up to be. It's worth fighting for, being brave for, and risking everything for. So I'm gonna scoot my chair over. Benjamin's gonna join me for some Q&A. Before we jump into that though, I just want to share with you real briefly about the MAN panel VIP package. And I'd like to invite you to go with me. If you're online, you can go with me to themanpanel.com/VIP. And Kyle, I think you're putting the link in the chat box as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'll put it in the chat for everyone to view. I'll put the direct link where people can go to get more info and to sign up.
Okay. And I'm just going to bop over real quick to the actual page where we have the MAN panel VIP, just so you can like follow along with me. Let me see if I can get there. Bear with me, technology. Okay. I'm back to my slides, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, hang on. I want to try to go somewhere else if I can. Let's see. Okay, well, I can't get there with the screen share, so we're just going to go over it. The MAN panel VIP package is available right now, as I mentioned, on the pre-event special. This expires tonight, and so this is the last chance to get it at the pre-event special rate. With the MAN panel VIP package, I just want to share with you really quickly what it includes. It includes, because some people have asked me some questions about it, and since this is the last night to get it on the VIP special, I just wanted to quickly go over that. The MAN panel VIP special includes all of the audio and video downloads of the entire event, the live portions, all of the interviews, everything. So if you're finding that things are going to go pretty fast, or you know you're really busy, and you know you don't want to miss the event, that's really important to consider getting the VIP package. As I said, it'll be available throughout the event. It's just, it'll be a little higher investment. Still totally worth it, but if you're thinking about it, you might want to get it now. Then also it includes the Man Panel Top 12 Double Six Pack, which is a series of interviews from previous Man Panels, like listener favorites. So like I said, this is year four that I've done this, and I've picked out some of my very favorites and some of the listener favorites for you from past Man Panels. So if you really want to Netflix binge watch and get lots of lots of male perspective, this is awesome. The next bonus is Meet Your Match. This is a three-part masterclass that I'll be also teaching live, where I'm going to teach you how to create more opportunities for yourself, both online and offline, so that you can increase your opportunities to see and be seen by a high-quality man. And I already told you a little bit about bonus three, which is another live workshop I'll be teaching called Fuel Your Feminine Fire. So you can be fully seen, treated like a queen, and show up in a way that inspires a masculine man. And then the VIP package also includes a one-on-one session with me. I love connecting with you personally. And I said this was for the first 37 only. We've blown past that already. However, I've opened up some more space in my calendar. So I will honor that, even though we've blown past the first 37. And I would love to connect with you one-on-one. We'll explore kind of where you're at in terms of your love life, where you'd like to be, what could be slowing you down, standing in the way or stopping you, and kind of talk about the path forward. And then I also have a surprise bonus gift, which I'll just give you a hint, is another recording of a live workshop that my husband and I taught. And I think you'll really like it. It's how you can bring out the very best in a man. So I told you the surprise. That's what's included. All of that is available right now. Be sure to lock it in right now so that you can get your savings. And I'm going to now invite my wonderful husband, Benjamin, in. And I'm going to scoot over a little bit so Benjamin has room to sit by me. Kyle, you seeing us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, everyone. Welcome my husband, Benjamin, to the
Hello, ladies.
Benjamin has appeared with me before, and I just thought it would be really fun to have him join me. First of all, it makes me feel more secure and safe when he's here doing these live events. It's a security blanket. But also, I thought it would be great for him to chime in and give the male point of view. So, before we get started on the questions, type your questions in the Q&A box right now. I've also got a few that have been sent in via email. But I want to let you know that if you want to have us answer your question, it's best to have the question be short and to the point, because we don't really have time to read big, long stories, so to speak, right now. But for anyone whose question we choose, have a surprise for you. So many of you may remember, if you were on my event in January, that I had this artwork commissioned and did a card deck of beautiful artwork specifically for my audience. And on the back of each of these cards is a thought-provoking question, which is to help you to increase your attraction factor and to honor your femininity. And for everyone whose question we choose, you can email me after the event and I will send you a set of these cards in the mail, no matter where you are in the world. Just if you're outside of the United States, you have to allow a little extra time for it to get there. But they're beautiful, inspirational cards, and you can pick one a day. And it will ask you a question that you can think about to help support you on your journey to love. So let's jump right in and let me take a look at what we have in terms of questions. Let's see here. Okay, let's see. Okay, Deborah. I'm a single mom of two boys who works full time and then takes care of my kids. How can I possibly be in that life that I love? I feel that this is my main roadblock. I have no clue how to overcome it. Well, first of all, Deborah, bless your heart, because I mean, that there's no harder more demanding job in the world than being a single mom, probably of two boys. And then working full time, and I can certainly understand why you might feel really stretched. So first of all, we salute you and honor you for what you're doing, and extend our deepest appreciation for what you're doing, because a mom of boys, that's an undertaking. And I do think that it can be challenging when you feel that stretched. And I think we all can feel stretched at one time or another for one reason or another. Yours may feel like it's a chronic condition, Deborah. But what I will say is, even in the midst of that, it's really, really important for you to find ways and to find time to practice some deep self-care, to do some things for yourself that feel nurturing. Because when you are taking really good care of yourself, when you're nurturing yourself and showing that deep level of care and concern for yourself, it's like you're sending a message to the universe that you're worthy of being loved, cherished, and adored by the right man. I also think that it's really important, in whatever little ways you can find, to add more joy into your life. Like, one of the questions I like to ask my clients is, when is the last time you did something for no other reason than just the sheer joy of it? Because we can get so bogged down with just the to-do lists and the demands of our lives that it feels like we're surviving rather than living. And so I feel like this is really important, wherever you can, in whatever ways you can, to look for those opportunities to bring joy into your life. And to find ways to nurture yourself when you don't have anyone else in your life that's doing that for you. This is not easy, and we acknowledge the very real challenge of your situation. But I hope you can find ways to do some of that in your life, Deborah. What do you want to add?
I think you've got it nicely.
All right. Let's see. Oh, we're getting lots of questions. Oh, and Deborah, be sure to email me, all of you that whose questions we take, at michelle@lovelifecoaching.com, or just respond to one of my, I see that. Just respond to one of my emails with your address so we can send you out the beautiful card deck. Okay, let's see. Glenda asks, we have learned the three keys. What are the three biggest turnoffs for men when meeting women? Well, there's probably, first of all, like the three keys, there's probably more than three of them in terms of biggest turnoffs, but let's see what we can come up with. Do you want to take this one first? Do you want me to jump in first?
Okay, you do one and then I'll do the next.
Okay. I think in interviewing men, one of the things they've expressed to me, Glenna, is it Glenna? Sorry, I might have said your name wrong. Glenna, is that men have expressed to me that it really is scary for them, that they really are going out on a limb when they're approaching you, when they're meeting women. And so I would say one of the biggest turnoffs is when women are not receptive, or who are rude or unkind or reject them, especially if it's in a public forum. Even online, it can feel like a big rejection to them, just like it can feel to women. And I think sometimes we forget how vulnerable they are, how real that is for them. And so even, you know, wherever possible, even if a man's not your guy, even if he's not who you want to date or spend a lot of time with, if you can at least treat him with some kindness and respect, wherever possible, in whatever way possible, that I think goes a long way towards not completely destroying his confidence to approaching another woman. So I would say one of them is women, you know, like giving him the cold shoulder or being rude or unreceptive or rejecting them publicly. I don't know how to define that any more concisely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a second item. Avoid, when you first meet a man, when you're first going out with him, avoid any temptation, even if your life's going particularly tough at the moment, avoid any temptation to dwell on the negative too much. Avoid any temptation to complain or to otherwise show those kind of emotions, say, too early on. Now, aside from the obvious downside here, there's also kind of an insidious component to it. Because if you're going through a particularly dark time in your life, and you lead with that darkness, there's a chance that the person that you're getting to know will see you not so much as a potential long-term romantic partner, but will see you as somebody that they can commiserate with, as they can hang around with occasionally to have mutual complaining sessions. And so the one thing that I find, if a guy's interested in a long-term relationship, and you'll see this a little later in the summit when we play the interview that Michelle and I did, but one of the things that guys are looking for, at least I can speak for myself, is a woman who leads with, I guess, an amiable personality, a friendly personality. And you can get a lot of commiseration if you lead with the negative, but you're much less likely to get a commitment and a long-term relationship that works. So do what you can to avoid dredging up too much of any negativity that you may be feeling at that time. I'm not saying it's easy 100% of the time, but with the right guy, it will pay dividends to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to get in three, and then we'll move on to another question. I would say, as far as three big turnoffs, another big turnoff for men is, again, especially online, when a woman doesn't represent herself for who she is, meaning she's using outdated pictures or lies about her age. That's a whole other topic, but men have that same complaint. I mean, as
guys are no less guilty of this. Don't think we're just coming down on women.
Right. It goes both ways. But I'm just saying, in interviewing men, they've expressed that concern as well. And also, just to add one little other bonus one, is not being gracious or appreciative. Like if a man is treating you to dinner or taking you out or is trying to do something nice for you, that's, if you're not appreciative, if you're not acknowledging, even if he's not your dream guy, that's a turnoff for guys. So there's a big long list. And some of the men in the man panel will be talking about some of the things, like in my interview with Mark, why am I remembering this? Forgetting his last name, with Mark Rosenfeld, left me for a second. He talks about some of the common mistakes that women make in dating. And so there'll be a really good one for you to tune into on this, Glenna. Okay, be sure to send me an email and I'll send you the cards. Okay, let's see. Dashi asks, what are the best ways to step into femininity when we have to be so masculine in terms of running a successful business? Boy, do I hear you on that one, Dashi, because, you know, I was out there rocking it out in corporate America for 20 plus years prior to doing this work that I now do. And you're right. Sometimes being in that masculine, outcome, goal-oriented, focused energy can really lend itself well to being successful, not only in business, but other aspects of life. And in terms of stepping into femininity, this is actually one of the most common challenges with the women that I work on, with the women that I tend to work with, because most of the women that I work with have been or are successful in one other aspect of their life, business or other aspects of their lives as well, and have become pretty self-sufficient, pretty self-sustaining, pretty much in the I've got it energy, and that translates well in their business and professional endeavors. It doesn't always translate so well in their personal interactions with men. And so this is a big topic, which is why I'm teaching a whole class on it. So you might want to consider signing up, I'm just saying, for the VIP package, because I'm going to teach Fuel Your Feminine Fire. I'm going to teach you how you can shift from being in that masculine energy, how you can move gracefully into that feminine, and how you can feel more comfortable, relaxed, confident in that, especially in terms of interacting with men. But some of the things we've already talked about, not trying to totally sidestep your answer, it's just a big topic. Some of the things we've already talked about in terms of tuning into your passions, your joys, moving your body, dancing, doing things that are creative, doing things that bring you joy that are not necessarily outcome oriented or goal focused, but are just for the sheer joy or beauty of it. Sometimes reconnecting with nature, dressing in something that makes you feel feminine or beautiful, having a new fresh hairstyle or makeover of some kind. I mean, some of these things are just some really fast general tips and ideas that you can do to help kind of reconnect with your femininity. When I think of femininity, it's really about being connected with your inner self, being connected with your feelings, with your heart, with your emotions. That doesn't mean you're not using your mind or your brain, but it means you're not disconnected from that part of yourself as well. Now, Benjamin, this is putting you on the spot. Do you have anything to add on getting into your femininity?
Well, for someone who's successful in the business or professional world, one thing you will have learned is that both in that world and in the other areas of your life, you need to put on different hats depending on who you're talking to and who you're dealing with. When you're dealing with, say, a very important client that represents a big part of your revenue, how are you going to address them? When you're dealing with an excellent employee, when you're dealing with a problem employee, when you're dealing outside of business, when you're, say, you're doing something with nieces, nephews, when you're at lunch with girlfriends, the point I'm making is, You're not going to use the same formulae. You're not going to be, in essence, I hate to say mask, because that implies you're being someone you're not. That's not what I'm talking about. But you are going to interact in a way that is in your mind and heart is calculated to make that relationship turn out the best. And this is why programs like the ones that Michelle offers and the things that she teaches are so important, because getting into a long-term relationship with a man is yet another one of those unique and different situations. So it's kind of a false equivalence to say, well, I'm successful in business and I'm very driven and goal oriented. So I can't imagine that ever working with a man in a relationship. Well, that's an excellent point, because it's not supposed to. Everything you've learned and everything you've become and all the growth that you've experienced, that's all going to be incalculably helpful to you. But it doesn't change the fact that getting to know a man is going to be very different from, for example, interviewing a potential new employee for a job. It's an entirely, both from a head and a heart perspective, it's going to be different. And I think step one is to is to accept that. Step one is to accept that this isn't sure I have standards, sure I have the make or break boundaries that I won't cross, but assuming that a man is passing those tests, this isn't going to go down like an employer-employee relationship. That's not what makes this work. And also, I'm not going into partnership with a subordinate or a superior. I'm shooting for a permanent partnership of equals. Very, very different people perhaps at times, but still equals. So I think that step one is to realize that you're going to make this work, just like you deal differently with a prized client than you would a troubled employee that you want to see improve. Just as you deal with those two very differently, you're going to deal with this man in your life differently.
Thank you, Benjamin. Okay, let's see. There's so many really great questions here. Let's see if we can maybe speed things up a little bit and take a little more, shall we? Take a few more. Okay, let's see. This is a good one. This is from anonymous attendee, but Miss Anonymous, you can still send me an email and I'll send you the cards if you'd like to. What are some of the signs a man is interested in a long-term relationship? I'm going to let you lead off on this one, and I'll fill in the gaps.
Okay. Well, the initial sign that a man is interested is that even if it's in a small way, he takes some form of initiative to communicate with you. If a man, trust me on this, if you're at some type of gathering, whether a party or church or community or whatever, if a man who you don't know or don't know terribly well, if a man takes the trouble to come up and talk to you on his own initiative, that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. He wasn't saying, well, I guess I'll just pick someone at random and go talk to her. As Michelle said a few minutes ago, guys are worried about rejection. But I can tell you for a fact, because before I was married, I had been there. If you see someone that really interests and fascinates you, as a man, you're going to take that walk across the room and communicate. So the first thing I would say is look for any acts of initiative on his part, even if they're small. And that will give you that will kind of give you your initial indications. And the second thing is, in the early stages, say you speak with him for a while, or even if you have, say, you get together for coffee or a lunch or just something very low-key to begin with, make it a point to either say verbally at the end or text if you have a number, just express thank you. Just express a thank you. Because that, I can tell you, that really makes a man's day when he knows that he's pleased you, when he knows that he took initiative and it was received warmly and well.
Yeah, I think he keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. He's showing up consistently. You see over a period of time, there, what we look for in relationships are patterns. How is someone showing up over a period of time? Anyone can have a bad day, a bad hair day, but we want to look for how someone's showing up over time. Do his actions and his words match up? If his actions and his words are not consistent, pay attention, closer attention to his actions. Because most men show their care or concern, at least in part, for a woman by their actions, by the things that they do. If he's doing nice things for you, if he's being thoughtful, going out of his way to do something nice for you or to bring you pleasure, if he starts introducing you to friends or family, if he starts talking about future plans together, these are all signs that a man is interested in something more. Now, they don't always come right out and say, I'm interested in seeing where this goes, but usually these are patterns that might lead up to a conversation like that. So hopefully that's helpful. Okay, this one is from JH. I think this is a good question. She says, when a man is facing a hard challenge, how do I help him without going into problem-solving mode? Offering a listening ear and a hug feels anemic. I'm telling you, I totally get this one. This is hard because, you know, let's face it, ladies. A lot of times we do have really good ideas, right? And we can see how we could solve the problem.
Exactly what the man needs to do and how he needs to do it for maximum happiness.
And I have to admit that there has been a time or two in our marriage when I've fallen into the problem-solving mode. So, and yet you're saying offering a listening ear and a hug feels anemic. You know, one thing that you can do, and this I found to be really effective, and again, this comes again from the valuable conversations I've had with so many men over the years. I am so grateful to these men because they allow me to do my own relationship more effectively and allow me to help my clients more. So one thing you can do is you can just say, you know what? Wow, that's, you know, if he's expressing something about the challenge, you can say, wow, that's really real. I know though that you're gonna figure it out. I know you've got this and you're gonna figure this out. When you say that to a man, that's gonna make him feel really good. It's gonna offer him support, but it's also gonna let him know something really important, that you have confidence in him, that you have confidence in his ability to face a challenge. You have confidence in him to figure it out. Now, easier said than done sometimes, but if we step into problem-solving mode, that often doesn't work very well and makes a man feel, we don't mean to, but it might make him feel like we don't have that confidence in his ability to figure out a challenge or a difficult thing in his life. So saying those words, I know you've got this, I know you'll figure it out, and really, you know, having that kind of confidence in him, I believe in you, I know you can do this, and I know whatever the answer is, you're gonna get that figured out, it's gonna make a big difference. And then you don't have to step into the problem-solving mode. You can just be there, like being like a support, someone who believes in him, which is going to help him a lot when he's facing that challenge. You want to add to that?
Yeah, and also I like what Michelle is saying about, you know, I know you've got a handle on it. I know you'll succeed. And I can tell you a hug and a listening ear are anything but anemic, and they really, really matter. And in addition to what Michelle said about affirming that the man can succeed, and if you want to add something to the effect of, you know, if there's anything that I can do to help in a way, you know, in a way that works for you, just please ask me. You know, you're letting him know, you're not trying to tell him what to do and how to do it, but what you're saying is if there's something that I can help with in a way that doesn't mean I'm telling, you know, doesn't mean I'm trying to turn you into a project to try and fix the situation. But if it works for you, just let me know. That's not going to go amiss either. But you have to include that works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do not underestimate. I think you're bringing up a really good point here, Benjamin. Do not underestimate the value of just your support and just your belief in a man and loving him through, supporting him through, supporting him emotionally through what he's going through. Don't underestimate how valuable that is, because it's incredibly valuable to a man. Benjamin, we have a question just for you here from the lovely Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Benjamin, from a man's point of view, how do men experience a woman's femininity? What about a woman catches their passion? Ooh, there's a lot to that that you could talk about.
Yes, yes. When I think of femininity, apart from what we might think of as the more, men being more, visually attuned is what people seem to always say, but apart from the more obvious visual things, I think rather than those, what strikes me most deeply about what femininity is it represents to a man a woman who is showing to him that her heart and her feelings are accessible to him. Forgive me, I'm trying to put the words exactly where I want them to be. But femininity represents a sense. If you ask any man who has seen a woman that just impresses him and attracts him to no end, there, ask a man about the moment when he realizes that woman is receptive to him as well. That's one of the most amazing and profound moments in a man's life. When he has admired this woman from afar, when he has started talking to her, when he has begun a relationship, when he realizes that she is receptive to him and welcome and is open to him and welcomes him. That warm receptiveness to me is what I feel first in femininity.
Mm-hmm. I think, I've had an opportunity again to ask a lot of men these questions, and it goes way beyond the physical. Of course, the physical is an aspect of that. Men love the feminine body. They love the feminine curves. Many men love seeing a woman in a dress, or they love a woman who takes that care of her appearance. A lot of men love seeing women in a very, natural state, meaning not a lot of makeup and she's comfortable in her own skin. But I think it has a lot to do with your level of confidence. It has to do with your presence, your sweetness, your receptivity that Benjamin was talking about, your warmth, your caring, your kindness, your smile, your joy, that lit from within kind of thing. All of these things represent femininity. In talking to Alison Armstrong, she talks about, shiny hair, things like this. Men notice these things, but it goes way beyond the physical. It's a presence. It's who you're showing up as in the world. It's how you interact with men, which is some of the things I'm going to teach in the Feminine Fire class, in as well as helping you reconnect with your femininity. And so it encompasses so much, but the key is for you to feel good about who you are, for you to navigate the world with that confidence of knowing your own value that I was talking about earlier. Because when you're navigating the world from that confidence and from that knowing of your own value, you're not so self-conscious. You're more able to just interact more freely and gracefully and with more lightness and fun with men out there. That's actually another feminine quality, is that lightness and that fun and that joy. And a lot of the men in the Man Panel series talk about some of these things as well. So you'll get some more insights on that too. I definitely want to take this question. This is another anonymous question. She says, hi and good evening. How do women who are over 60 find men out in the world who would even consider us? It feels as though we are, I think you mean, invisible. So first of all, let me say, the majority of my clients are 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s. I'm in that age group myself. I'm 56. Hard to believe how fast the years went by. Although, as was mentioned earlier, as a breast cancer survivor, I cherish every birthday as they come, because I have looked the alternative directly in the face.
not as much as I cherish her birthdays.
So, what I can say is, there are unique, I don't want to say challenges, there are unique aspects of dating for women 50s, 60s, 70, beyond. That having been said, I have many clients in their 60s who have met and found amazing men. And when I work with my clients one-on-one, or when I work with my clients in groups, I teach them and work with them to help them to create opportunities specific to them based on their interests, passions, and where they might also step outside of their normal routine and where men might be. So we do a combined approach of both online and offline. And you'll hear, if you listen to John Gray's interview tomorrow, because he's specifically talking about some of the hormonal, sexual, dating challenges that more mature women have. And one of the things that he says is that women can be beautiful and attractive at any age and can be seen by a great man at any age. But a lot of it is that confidence from within, how you're carrying yourself, how you're valuing yourself, and having that feminine fire. No matter what age you are, you can still have that. So I can just tell you that my experience has been, is you're not a statistic. I don't care what the statistics say. The women that I work with, those who choose to be intentional about this in terms of creating opportunity for themselves, have a very, very good chance of meeting a great man. So if you and I were to work together, and again, this is anonymous, so I don't even know who you are, we would spend time together kind of figuring out what that would look like for you, because it's not the same for every person, because it's based on your interests, passions, who you are, where you live, what you like to do, who you might like to spend time with, and it's based on your interests and values. And so we create like a whole plan on how you can increase your opportunities to meet and attract the right guy. So my big message to you is, love can come at any time, at any age. So do you have anything you want to add to that?
That was wonderful.
And be sure to send me an email if you'd like a set of cards. I'd be happy to send it to you, anonymous. Okay, let's see. Alice, why does a man disappear even after you think you've had a great connection early on in dating? Oh boy, you know what? I asked a lot of the men on the Man Panel this question, so you'll hear a lot of their responses, but we can give a few ideas right now. Do you want to take this one, or you want me to jump in first?
Clarify the question really fast.
Why a man disappears even after you've had a great connection early on in dating? So you maybe go on a few dates, it seems like you have a connection, then crickets.
Oh boy.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. How can I put this tactfully? It really comes, now allow me to put on my speculation hat. I can only speak for myself, but I think It often comes from men's comparative lack of the kind of social network, the kind of social experience that women have. I mean, think about it. I mean, a man can go over to the house of one of his buddies, and he's not going to bring a little gift or send a thank you card or things like that. Men are oftentimes all about, oh, let's see, do this and then this and then this, and everything's somehow got to be efficient. Everything's got to have a purpose. Women, I think, in a certain way, leave us in the dust in that area. In that, when a woman has a very satisfying meeting or lunch or social experience or whatever, it's very likely that they're going to communicate something. Men, bless their hearts, will jump in the way. And the most important thing to remember, and I realize this is so much easier to say than to take in or bear, but in most cases, it's not an overt sign. It's not an overt sign of rejection or that there is some problem with you. I mean, he may have gone out of town. He may have gotten ill. And you know, I'm not making excuses, because if men were more socially adept, they would be a bit more fastidious about keeping those kind of arrangements. Guys will throw out the, you know, oh, I'll give you a call or I'll let you know. They'll do that the same. They'll do that, unfortunately, the same way they'll do it with their buddies. And when they do it with their buddies, that in essence means, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Everything's cool. And if I don't talk to you, no news is good news. Everything's cool. That's why a lot of women, I've heard Michelle talking about women who complain about a guy doesn't call and then weeks or even a couple months later he calls again. And again, that's down to down to men oftentimes treat communications as an exercise in efficiency and utilitarianism. Their minds have not been trained in the subtleties of what both the spoken and the unspoken will communicate to someone else. But the important thing to remember is that it's almost never an overt rejection. And we just had one comment coming in and said, you know, if a guy waits a month or two to call you, then he's not that serious. And that's probably the case. And it's up to you if you want to continue things, it's up to you. But if you're looking for me to make sense, to go through all of the phone calls not made by men and make sense of them and give them a single unified rationale, I may as well go to bed right now. You can do better.
I want to jump in here and add a few things. First of all, I have a YouTube video called Three Reasons He Didn't Call, which goes into some of this in more detail. But I want to offer something here, which is kind of funny in an odd sort of way. Sometimes a man doesn't even know he's disappeared. Now, let me explain that. So John Gray talks about the rubber band effect, how men might get a little closer, yeah, you might have a great conversation, a great date, especially early on in dating. And then he kind of pulls back. He kind of goes into his man cave. He kind of pulls back emotionally. He might pull back in terms of communication. In his mind, he hasn't disappeared. He's just kind of gone into his cave for a minute. To you, he's disappeared because you've got no contact from him. He's not communicating. This is why sometimes men will disappear for days or weeks at a time, and then they'll suddenly call you up like nothing's ever happened, because in their mind, nothing really out of the ordinary happened. They just kind of went into their cave for a minute. Sometimes when they're in the cave, that's when they notice that they miss you. And actually, that's when they realize at times that they have feelings for you. Now, I'm not saying this isn't frustrating. It's frustrating. But I'm just saying, I've talked to men from a male point of view. Sometimes they don't even know that they've disappeared. In their minds, they haven't disappeared. They just went in the man cave for a while. It's not something they really thought about. It's just something they did. Another piece here is that sometimes as women, we can make assumptions because we've gone on a few dates with someone. We assume that the relationship as it is at a certain point, but it hasn't actually been defined. So I also have another video on the importance of not making assumptions in relationships. Because until you've actually had some kind of definition around what's going on, like you're dating exclusively or you're going to see how things go or whatever, sometimes we can jump ahead in our minds from where a man actually is in his mind in terms of the commitment level. Now, you know, we're talking about early dating here, and so this is not uncommon that a man might also be dating someone else and he might be weighing in the balance who he might want to continue with. There could be a lot of different things going on. And so he might have had a great connection with you, but he might be dating someone else that he's interested in too, especially if it's early on in the dating process. So there's a lot of different things that could be going on here. But the funny thing is, a man may not even know that he's disappeared. And I know that sounds funny to us as women, because we're like crickets, but it's true.
Yeah, and most women are schooled enough in the social, as I was saying, most women are schooled enough in the social cues of life that that kind of thing is completely foreign to them.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to just take a couple more questions and then we're going to wrap up because we've been going almost an hour and a half. But Kyle, I want to ask you one more time if you'll put the... I've had a couple people ask if for the link for the VIP package. Can you put that in the chat box again? And again.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. And that way we can have easy access. Or you can go, if you're like listening by phone or whatever, you can go to themanpanel.com/VIP. If you're listening to the replay, you should be able to just scroll down on the page that you're listening or watching from. And then you can get all the details of the VIP package there. Thank you so much to all of you that have already ordered it. I'm really excited and I've already started connecting with some of you in your one-on-one sessions, which is super fun. And I love getting a chance to talk to you one-on-one. Okay, let's see. Wendy says, this is a comment, not a question. Wendy says, remember, the only good cricket is Jiminy. Okay, that's very cute. Thank you. Thank you for that comic relief. Barbara asks, is there a recording of this available? I came on late. Yes, Barbara. Just as soon as we're done tonight, we're going to try to turn this around. There's a bit of technology stuff we have to do on the back end to get the recording out, but we will get the recording out as soon as we can tonight, and it will be available tonight and tomorrow. However, the VIP package available at the pre-event savings only tonight, so you'll want to lock that in. Jacqueline says, how can I tell if a man is really interested or is it just a polite conversation? I think we kind of touched on some of the signs that he's interested. The main sign is that he starts putting some attention, intention, yeah. Effort.
Look for initiative. Even if it's small, look for him making the effort and showing some type of initiative.
Mm-hmm. This is anonymous. What are my chances in finding a committed relationship if I want to be celibate until marriage, or at least not past second base? How do I say this and when during early dating stages? That's a big topic, but absolutely you can find a committed relationship. And in fact, I've talked to a lot of men about this, and it's all about you being true to your values and being true to who you are and sharing with someone what's important to you and why. And the right person is going to respect you and is going to and will be willing to wait for you. I actually have a client right now that I'm working with, and we've worked through this in terms of a conversation. She's not necessarily saying she's going to wait till marriage, but they've been dating for several months, and he's wanted to be intimate, and she doesn't feel that it's the right time for her. And so one of the things that we've talked about is letting this person know that you're interested in them, that you're attracted to them, of course, assuming that you are, and that you very much look forward to that part of a relationship. But for you, based on your spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs or what is right for you, you feel like this is something that you would want to save until you're married, and that you would ask him if he would be willing to understand that and explore that with you. And it might be a conversation you have to have more than once, but I know this is not like what people consider to be the thing most people do anymore, but it actually is more common than you might think. And it's absolutely possible for you to find a relationship and someone who would respect that in you. I mean, just saying, the right man is not going to be easily scared off. And a big part of it is letting him know that that is something that's important to you and why, and that you are attracted to him, and that's something that's coming in the future. Okay, so let's see. Maybe we should just take one more. This is from Renee. Let's take this one. I'm dating someone, but he has so many things about him that annoy me, so I end up feeling frustrated and judging. Would this mean he's not right for me, or is this something I need to work through because it's been a pattern in the past? Mm-hmm. Kind of a tricky one, huh? So here's a couple things I'll say, Renee. Here's a couple things that come to mind. What you see is what you get when it comes to men. Ladies, do not take on a man as a savior, as a fixer-upper, as a psychiatrist. If a man has many things that annoy you and that you feel frustrated and judging, it could very well mean that he's not the right man for you. Now, the second part of your question, because what you see is what you get, and no man wants to feel like he's a fixer-upper project. No man wants to feel like you're out to change him or mold him into what you want. And so if this is not a man that you can accept for who he is, and not only accept, but respect who he is, there's a good chance that he might not be the right man for you. In terms of the second part of your question, is this something I need to work through because it's been a pattern in the past? Possibly, because we do want to look for patterns, not only in relationships, but patterns in our own lives and patterns in our own interactions and relationships. And so if this is something that has appeared before, you might want to explore what might be underneath that. That might be a worthy exploration for you, because sometimes if we are, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm sometimes saying if we as people are hypercritical of someone else, sometimes it has its root in us not feeling really comfortable or good about who we are. So this could be something to explore. This is a big, you know, potentially a big thing to explore for you. I don't know any more about your situation than that, but from what we've got in this question, I hope that's a bit helpful. Okay, I want to just take one last question and then we're going to wrap up for tonight. Again, Kyle, can you put the VIP package in the chat box one more time for anybody that's looking for that?
No problem.
Thank you so much. Melissa says, how long should you give a relationship when you don't feel attraction? So I think the question underneath this, or the thought underneath this, Melissa, might be, you hear all the time that attraction can grow, which is true. Doesn't always happen, but it can happen. And that sometimes it's worth giving a relationship a bit more of a chance if you don't feel that attraction in the beginning. So it's absolutely true, with a couple of caveats, and this might help answer your question. If you meet someone for the first time, online or in person, and they give you the eebie-jeebies, like make your skin crawl, and you're like, if we were the only two people on a desert island, nothing would ever happen, the attraction's probably not going to grow. Just saying, let's just put that out there, right? If you meet someone and you don't necessarily feel any spark, but they seem like an interesting person, or they have something about them, a quality, or in the way they're showing up, or the way they treat you that you find interesting or intriguing, it may be worth giving that person two or three dates to see if there's any more attraction that starts to grow. And I do find that oftentimes the relationships that start out like, you know, like you're attracted to each other like a magnet, there's that like really intense chemistry. A lot of times those are false positives, meaning those relationships can often burn out. You know, they start like a raging forest fire because there's so much chemistry there. They can often burn out just as fast as they start up, and you're lying there in the smoke, dust, and ashes wondering what in the world happened. But that doesn't mean you don't want attraction and chemistry. Of course you want it. What I find, though, is the slow burn, you know, with a little kindling, a little ember that grows into that more raging forest fire, they tend to have a better chance of going the distance. So we want to give a relationship a chance for that kindling to kind of catch a bit of a spark. So I would say three dates, if they've got some redeeming qualities, would be maybe a good gauge just to see if something's starting at all to kick in. Because I've had clients, in fact, one of my clients that married in her 60s, the first time she met this man on that she had met online, she didn't feel that physical attraction to him, but she did appreciate some of his qualities and how he was showing up for her. And I'll tell you what, in the long run, how someone shows up for you is really sexy. If they're showing up for you in a way, like my cute husband here, in a way that's really loving and supporting you and really caring for you, that's incredibly sexy over the long run. So hopefully that's helpful, and hopefully that gives you a little bit of guideline. Now, ladies, we didn't get a chance to take all of the questions tonight, but we are going to have another Q&A event. Like I said, we're going to have men answering questions. That's on Wednesday night. It's called the Manathon. It's like a coach-a-thon, but with men, so we call it a manathon. And I'll be moderating, and I'll have a panel of three men, so we'll take some more questions then. All of you that whose questions we took, be sure and email me, michelle@lovelifecoaching.com, and I'll send you these cards in the mail. Allow time for them to get there, especially if you're out of the country. And be sure to check out the VIP package while it's still available at the special savings, themanpanel.com/VIP. And we will see you soon for more of the Man Panel. Thanks so much. Bye, for ladies. Joining us. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.